Let me just recap life in general, which is this. There's two choices in this on this earth. And if anybody's listening online and nobody's ever said it this way, it's this way. It's this life that we have, goods, bads, ups and downs, and families we're born into. That's choice number one, and doing life on your own. And that's most people in this world, doing life on their own. But then all of a sudden, 2,000 years ago, a man shows up, and he's doing things that kind of point to the idea that he might know a little bit about humanity, right, Bill? I mean, the dude's walking on water, and you're like, what do you have to say about, like, me and marriage and life? And he says, well, I have an idea for you. Instead of trying to do things on your own, why don't you lean your life piece by piece against me? Because I will never change and I'll never crumble. And a lot of us in this place have walked through very difficult things. And we've heard people say, how are you still? And the only answer we could give is somebody held me together. And I know who it is. It's Jesus. It's not lowercase g God. It's not happy thoughts. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's option number two. And that for anybody, for all who believe in Christ Jesus, right? And a lot of this, guys, isn't faith. I don't want to go down this rabbit trail too much, but the fact that Yeshua lived in a place called Nazareth, that's not even up for debate, guys. Genealogy was going on back then. You might remember in the Gospels, they went for a census, which took record of the people. So the fact that Jesus existed is not up for debate. That's not even an act of faith. He's as real as, I was going to say Bill Cosby. That brings negative things up now. Bill Clinton. Well, still kind of, no. Come on, are there any good Bills? Bill Gaither. Ah, there you go. Billy Graham. There you go. That was a safe one. He's as real as them or Oprah or Dr. Phil, okay? But the fact is, he said a lot of things like, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So either he's a liar, either he's deceived, or he's actually who he says he is. And the crazy thing is, because we're going to walk into some hard stuff today, but he said, it's not by my miracles that you'll know you should lean against me. It's not those. It's not even by my teachings that you should take me seriously. But watch. Watch. Because they're going to kill me, and then 3 days later I'm going to rise, and that's the sign that'll be given to you, that to know that through me you're safe and you can trust me. Do we understand that? You can't hear that too many times. If that bores you, you got a problem. I'm going to be bold today. That is the best news on the planet. Now, I say all that because a process begins in that. A process begins, and it's a wonderful process. It's the process churchy people would say is called sanctification, which means this. The best version of you is the one that looks most like Jesus, because he was loving. He was patient all the time. He was kind even to people other people weren't kind to. He bore with other people. You know what I'm saying? The best version of you is what God is interested in, because that's the one that looks most like Jesus. We are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. And I don't know about you guys, but if you write that on my headstone, any of those things, he was joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, loving, generous, any of those things, that's a win, right? I don't care what religion you ascribe to, but those are all describing Jesus. And that process where he says, okay, now you're mine, I adopt you. All right, let's do it. Yeah, we got plenty of time. Get comfortable, people. All right, so the father comes to the orphanage and says, that one right there, yeah, that really dirty one that's been trying to do things on his own, you, come here. I want to make you family. Do you want to be part of my family? Yes, Abba, Daddy. So get in the car, metaphorically. Go to Father's house. The next day, Father says, hey, buddy, listen. Now that you're part of my family, you have my last name. I don't want you to take my name in vain. Take it and do nothing with it. Take it and not take it in vain. So what you're going to do, buddy, is watch Dad and just start doing what I do. Okay. Right, guys? Anybody? Start doing what I do. It's not that hard. That's as simple as it is. Start watching what your dad does and represent the family. What do I say to Alex or Izzy? Well, okay. Izzy's actually more the hitter than Alex is right now. Like, whack! Izzy! And sob. And I say, that's not what we do. That's not who we are. That's what I say. That's not who the Daniels family is. Right? Or if he were to smack Blake for something. That's not who we are, bro. Team Daniels, that's not who we are. And the process of sanctification is simply this. Nobody's here to hurt you, but act like Dad. Act like your father. It's the best version of you. Some of us comes out of systems where you got the snot beat out of you if you stepped on a line. We're going to talk about that today. But that what I just described to you is not AJ's idea. That's translation of a lot of different scriptures that talk about this. He's given us the right to become sons and daughters of God. And God is a loving father who doesn't beat the tar out of his kids when they don't act right. Do you understand that? Good, I hope you do, because here we go. Let's look at this. Hebrews is a teaching book. There's this debate about who wrote it. I kind of sit on the fence that it's the Apostle Paul because of certain things. But anyway, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, people, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And then let us run with perseverance this race that's marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He scorned its shame, and then he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So throw off the sin that so easily entangles and run this race. So we're talking about this process, guys. Let's go back to the first slide, would we? The first portion of the show is this. I want to encourage everybody here. I want you, because we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, this is our theme scripture today, you guys. But I want to say this, straight up just to encourage. I want to encourage people and motivate folks who maybe get in a season of staleness, where you don't feel the same way you might have used to, where you're starting to get tired in your faith, and things are kind of the same way they always have been. What I want to say to you right now is this, the questions, doubts, and struggles that are in front of you, stay with me, please, are nothing new. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. I don't know about you guys, but doesn't that make you feel a little bit better that you're not the only one who's ever struggled with, right? Or who feels like a slug, or one day depression got me so bad I couldn't get out of bed. I feel better knowing Elijah felt that way. I don't know about you, right? Or the fact that it's the 53rd time I told God I wouldn't do this thing, and I still am here. But guys, you were surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And you could church it up. You could say Abraham, Elijah, Elisha, all these guys. And yeah, you're right. These are human beings, guys, who struggled with the same stuff we're struggling with. I don't have it on. I wore it yesterday, Brenda. My Me Too shirt. I've lost a little bit of weight. It fits again. That was my mile marker for real. I'm going to start wearing it because guess what? Me too, man. Me too. I like the fact that I'm struggling with a great cloud of witnesses. That, like I said, when I'm struggling with depression, I go see Elijah in a valley going, God, it's over. End it. I don't want to get out of bed today. And I watch the way God reacts to him. Or Elijah saying, yeah, I mean, it's pretty much Elijah a lot of times when it comes to that stuff. But I like the fact that this sounds morbid, but the guy who followed him around for over 3 years then lied and said, I don't know him. When things got real hard, one of his closest friends did something I've done. He's been dishonest. Or in the light of being able to stand up for my faith, I didn't say anything. Okay, all right, good. All right. I'm going to continue to hit harder. Have you noticed that about me? If I feel like you're not with me, I just go harder. I'm masochistic in that way. So let me do that. The time I felt like I should have witnessed to somebody and I didn't. The time I felt like I should have witnessed to somebody and I didn't. There's other people who've done this as well. It's because essentially that's denying what you know we should be doing, right? When I read that Peter did it too, I go, okay. All right. Do you understand that? We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses who've struggled with the very same things we've struggled with. Because I don't know about you, but I have felt like a slug at times. I have felt absolutely discouraged. I have felt like, what's the point? I have had more doubts. That's the thing, you know. It's funny. You put a microphone in someone's hand and you think that I don't struggle with doubts. What are you, nuts? There are days when I believe a little less than I want to about certain things. Can I just be honest for a second? Really, guys? Something challenges me and I go, ooh, I don't have a category for that. Now, what I choose to do is put it in the I don't know box instead of the I'm going to disown Jesus box. But guys, what do you think? We're rock stars in the faith. All these cloud of witnesses had the same struggles and doubts that we have. So rest easy. God knows that we're dust, you guys. By the way, disclaimer, this is the encouraging part of the message. Soak everything I'm about to say in because it's going to get rough from here on out. Just like this slide we just looked at. I want to think of John the Baptist. Stick with me on this. Listen, please. John the Baptist is dynamite, right? Hall of Faith, right? I'm looking for head nods or something. Do you know who the guy is? Because what I'll do is I'll show it to you and you can read 30 verses if you want. Just get with me today. John the Baptist did all this amazing stuff, including he baptized Jesus, right? And he knew. He said, I shouldn't be the one baptizing you, Jesus. He goes, not your call, bro. Like, do this. But then, did you know that John the Baptist gets imprisoned? And do you know what happens to John the Baptist? I'm not putting him down. I'm just keeping it real. He says, based on everything I've seen, hey, followers, go ask Jesus if he's the one that we've been waiting for, or if we're supposed to wait for somebody else. Wait. Johnny, come here. JJ. Remember when you baptized him? Yeah, I remember. Was it right in the Jordan River? Yeah, it was a nice day. Sun was shining. Birds were chirping. Speaking of birds, I saw the Holy Spirit actually come down on him. Wait, bro. You saw the Holy Spirit? Yeah, I know it's crazy, but I did. I saw the Holy Spirit. Wait, so why are you now asking if he's the guy? You want to know why? Ready? I've studied for 17 years for this. Ready? Because you're a human being, and you're made of dust. Do you understand that? So even John the Baptist doubted. But what's said, Brian? In Matthew 11:11, John says this. Even after this, guys, listen. Matthew 11:11, Jesus says, truly I tell you, that means listen up. Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. So when the report card goes home to Johnny and the Baptist's mommy, he gets to read that Jesus says he's the best. Oh, but what about when he got detention for really not believing anymore? Is that how Jesus really treats us? When we're running our race and we feel like dying, when we trip and stumble and fall, Jesus said, I didn't disown you, bro. John, you're my cousin, for one. Let's not forget that. You had everything you needed to understand that I was, you know, who I am. You doubted, but that doesn't mean you're disqualified. Keep going. Keep running your race. What does he do to Peter, the liar, the disowner of Jesus, to his face? He gives him a chance to be restored. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? How many times did he disown him? Say it, yeah. How many times did he just ask him? That's restoration, you guys. You stumbled during your race. Get back up, bro. Peter, don't stop. Yeah, but Jesus, I totally denied you to your face. Yeah, I get it. That's, I'll deal with that. I choose to forgive you. Get up, run. Go. Anybody getting encouraged today about this? I think this is fantastic. Let me tell you one other thing about, what did I do with that? I had that too, and that was beautiful. All right, so I'll just explain it to you. Speaking of race, running your race, did you know there's such a thing as the runner's wall? Anybody ever heard of that? You hit the wall. Let me read to you what that is. The runner's wall in endurance sports, such as cycling and running, hitting the wall, or in Europe they call it the bonk, it's a condition of sudden fatigue and loss of energy, which is caused by the depletion of glycogen stores in the liver and muscles. Someone's running a marathon, and all of a sudden their body goes, stasis lock. Oh no, I've hit the wall. I cannot continue. And they'll talk about, oh, I almost did it. I almost remember that guy's name, the long distance runner. But everybody has to break through the wall. Yeah, you want to get your glycogen resources high, but you got to break through the wall. Everybody hits it. And that's what I want to encourage you about today. Things didn't go the way you wanted to, okay? You're in a dry season. You're in a where are you, God, season. And Jesus does not go, boom, you know where I am. Get up, dummy. He goes, hey, come on. Don't give up. Come here. Keep running your race, guys. And now all these people, these great cloud of witnesses, they had to throw off everything that hindered, including the sin that so easily entangles, just like us. Now, some folks have a strange focus on this thought. Point number one of the day. Well, I mean, the point one was encouraging, I suppose. I want to pick on the church folks for a while, because I'm an equal opportunity type of guy, okay? I wanted to pick on those people who've been around Jesus for a long time or even generations before us. That is not a me too. I've officially gone as many years being saved as unsaved, because I was 17 and now I'm 30, which is more than that. That's not me, okay? I don't see the world through that lens, so let me pick on the other folks. Some folks, as we're talking about this race, okay, we think that we're going to come to church, we're going to come to the Lord Jesus and be magically convinced for all times that Jesus is who he says he is. And we'll never doubt. That's what some folks expect. That we'll magically bring him into all our situations on day one. That we'll never crave stuff that'll hurt us ever again. This is the belief of some folks. That we won't want to lie, to cheat, to overindulge. That we will never be tempted to not forgive, remain overly sensitive and offended all the time. But the question is, who taught you that? And that is not modeled in anyone in the Bible except the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying? Still encouraging. it's coming. Don't worry. And again, sometimes I think to myself, what a screw-up I am. Why can't I just stop doing this or do this more? Or whatever, AJ, you're the worst. But I think the Bible is again, saying this. Run with perseverance. Keep going. David, the mighty king, was an adulterer and murderer in the Bible. Paul, the guy who, I believe, wrote this, was a murderer as well. All the heroes of the faith were failures, just like you and me, but the difference is they just kept going. That's it. And sometimes I sit in the office and people are going, this happened, I'm out. This happened. He left me. He didn't keep marital vows. I'm out. And I'm, no, listen. Right now you're trying to figure it all out? No, just keep going. Don't say, forget you, Jesus. Don't do that. Just keep going. Some of us are in such a dry season where we're like, we've lost everything. And it's like, no. Don't have any other expectations today. Just put that one foot in front of the other. Just keep going. And that's this is what this is saying. God is not pressuring us like this. Change, grow. He's not doing that. Or I don't see that in the Bible anywhere. I see he bears with us. He understands we're dust. And he says, keep going. Do you remember what God says to Elijah who gives up? Essentially, he says to him, get up. Get something to eat, buddy. Get something to eat. Come on, this is what you need to keep going. That's all. To my friend Kelly, who lost her husband at 36 years old. And they have two little kids. Died of cancer. Graduated college with me. What do you say? I'll tell you what I said. I do not try to tell her why those things happen. I do not try to tell her, just believe and you'll be fine. I don't try to tell her any of that crap. I just tell her this, just keep going. Don't give up. Don't walk away from the one person who can bring you comfort and take care of you in that. Don't do that. Just keep going. That's the encouragement we're getting from this. But there is a second sentiment in here that we need to talk about. That was the grace portion of the show, okay? Jesus came from the Father full of grace and truth, right? And here's the thing. Church, especially in the Western church, has gotten it wrong on both sides of the pendulum. And I'm not Mr. Corrective Negativity. I'm just telling you the truth, that anybody who has anything to do with church needs to watch out for this. Some folks have erred way too much on just grace. No problem. Run the race. And some people have focused way too much on the other side. Throw off the sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's not the full thought. The full thought is, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, we've got support, you're okay, you know, every temptation known to man, they've all gone through it. Keep going, but you need to do some work. And if I were to stand up here and tell you one without the other, I've failed. And I got to look Jesus in the face and him go, why'd you tell half the story, bro? I'll tell you a story. I went to see some rando preacher in a summertime situation. And he decided to tell us that if you've got sin in your life, God doesn't hear you. And then he closed the message. All truth. I can't argue that. That's from Ezekiel or Isaiah or something like that. No, I believe it was Malachi. But guys, that's not the full story. Do you understand that? So you can't do that. And I don't care if you keep people till after the Packers play. I don't care. I will not just tell you, you're good, run your race, drop the mic. No, because it says you've also got a responsibility in following Jesus Christ. So that was the grace portion of the show. Keep going. You're all right, brother. You're all right, sister. He's adopted you and all is good, but you've got a job to do. So now I'm going to talk about the truth portion. And if ever I don't do this, you have my 100% permission to tell me I'm not doing it. Because I refuse to be the person that's legalistic and beats the snot out of people with truth. A little bit of grace. Truth. I don't want to do that. And I also don't want to be like, grace. Do whatever you want. Continue to, you know, blow up your life and relationships and ruin your body and make Jesus look terrible and like who he's not. I'm not going to do that either. Because Jesus didn't. So we with me? We on board? We ready for this part of it? Get excited. All right. Throw off the sin. It means you have a part to play in becoming like Jesus. The Holy Spirit, which comes to live inside of you when you say, yes, Jesus, you are who you say you are, gives you the knowledge of the things you need to change. It's called conviction. Science calls it a conscience, science from the Latin, with knowledge. We know when things are, ooh, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. When you're a believer, that's Holy Spirit going, ding, 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 ding. I'm just going to tell you. I'm that still small voice telling you. And I give you some advice today. Don't ignore that. Don't ignore that. Don't do it. Brush it off too much. The Bible says that your heart will become hardened and you'll stop hearing and blah, blah, blah. But as we're talking about throwing off the sins, it means you have a part to play in it. Okay? Now, the newly saved, the first generation's Christians, let me pick on you for a second. We tend to go like this. We tend to go, I'm saved, I'm good, I'm adopted. I'm going to act like I always acted. I'm going to play baseball in the house, metaphorically, because he's the kid who's adopted in the house. Remember that metaphor? I'm going to run around with muddy shoes in Dad's house. I'm going to say whatever I want. I'm going to put whatever I want on my Facebook page. I can do whatever I want. And the pendulum goes like this. So let me pick on you for a while. We believe, but we don't follow. Bruce, you get me on that one? And in church, here's what we say. Believe, follow. Believe, follow. Jesus didn't do that. He said, follow. Right, guys? Oh, yeah, you're absolutely saved by faith in Christ to all who believe. Absolutely. But we have a responsibility. It's believe and follow. Same. It's not believe, follow. Believe, follow. No, they're both there. Follow. Throw off the sin that slows you down as you run this race. Think about it. He actually says, throw off the sin, everything that hinders and so easily entangles. It's like trying to run with stuff wrapped around your feet. I got to tell Alex after he's done peeing in the potty, put your pants up before you try to walk out of the bathroom, bro. How many times do you have to fall on your face before you know that, then that? Poor kid. He's going to be so traumatized when he's older. Dad, did you really talk about when I was potty training? Aww. It entangles. And even in God's correction, because the Bible says who he corrects, he loves. I don't correct your kids because I don't love them like I love my kids. Oh, that's good. Blake can be acting a fool. And I'll go, Gordon, do your thing. I'm not going to waste my time. You know what I mean? It's not my kid. I don't love him like I love my kid. My kid gets rules, boundaries, and limitations because I am personally invested in shaping him to who he can be. Amen? I'm not going to do that to your kids. Sorry. I like them. I even love them. Not like that. And Heavenly Father gives us rules, bounds, and limitations in commands like this. Throw off that garbage, dude. Because he loves us. This pendulum swing. The pendulum swings. Sometimes people choose to stop living in their own strength, and they believe Jesus is Lord. And stuff does fall off of them. I've heard the stories. That ain't me. I believed in Jesus, and I never wanted a cigarette ever again. I believed in Jesus, and I never wanted to eat more than 3,000 calories a day ever again. Lord Jesus, I never had a bad thought. I never said naughty words. That is not me. Some of you may know people like that, and that's cool. And actually, I would rather be that, thank you. But I hate to tell you. Well, I don't hate to tell you because it's the truth. Most of us end up in process, piece by piece by piece, and it takes way longer than we think it should even as we're running this race. Right, guys? So some people get done diddly on, and they end up like Ned Flanders. Right? Seriously. Whoa, diddly-o. I don't want to do that. That's not my story at all. Nor is it that great cloud of witnesses, by the way. But we have to throw these things off. So anyway, let me do this. Let me go back to the other side. As we're looking at the sin that so easily entangles, as we all agree that the Bible knows what's best for us and says that, let me challenge you with this, guys. Sometimes, when we're struggling with something we know God is touching on and we know is hurting us and those we love, sometimes we actually have to climb the mountain and fight. This is the hard part, guys. Lots of us don't want to hear this. Sometimes we have to stand and say, I'm not leaving here until I truly forgive that person. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because we know that that's entangling us, and I'm going to tell you in a second how we're busy looking at only specific sin. Sometimes in my life, I've had to actually do something dramatic and say, I'm not leaving this place till I truly forgive this person. I don't want to right now, but I'm not leaving here. Or my main focus this week is that I'm so easily offended. I have a list of people that peeve me off every week. I'm so easily offended. But you know what? This week, nothing gets my attention but that. Everything else goes here. I'll still go to work. I'll still take care of my kids, but that's going to be peripheral. I'm not leaving here. I'm climbing that mountain, and I'm going to fight. I'm not going to be overly sensitive and offended all the time. That's the devil's playground. Destroys unity and destroys my life. Sometimes we got to climb the mountain and actually be part of this. Throw it off. Throw it off. Holy Spirit does the work. Holy Spirit tells you what's wrong, but you got to participate in this. Grace and truth, you guys. Right? It's true, man. But here's, I want to say this, guys. Okay, you want me to back you up on that, Bible people? Jacob wrestles with the angel. Sometimes you got to wrestle. I've had to look at certain patterns in my life that were unhealthy. And I always ask God to pick me up and take me out of the ring of fire. And God said this, ready? We're going to walk through it together. God, can you just remove that addiction from me? I'm not going to do that, AJ. but we're going to walk through it together. But I don't want to feel the fire. I don't want to want it. I don't want to, even though I know it's destroying me, I don't want to walk through it. Hey, I don't know. You have to, but I'll walk through it with you. Do you understand? Okay, let me turn it up even more. We have lots of time. This is great. It is a nice day. I will let you out. But sometimes, when we talk about throw off the sin, here's what happens. We stare at sins like drunkenness, sexual immorality, blah, 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 the obvious quote-unquote cultural ones, and we say, they should really turn that over to God and repent and blah, blah, blah. This is what we do. Pay attention. Meanwhile, we sit there and we're some of the most easily offended, grudge-carrying, judgmental people in the world, but that's not a sin I need to throw off. Oh, he's hot today. Yes, I am. Guys, I got to cover the gamut because Jesus did, right? Layers 1, 2, and 3. We're staring at the overt things. Well, they should make better choices. They shouldn't choose to do this, that, or the other. Meanwhile, the inside of you is disgusting in some way. Sorry, because Jesus says you're a whitewashed tomb. The outer sins, you don't do those. You won't see him smoking outside of Walmart. The outside. Whatever, guys. I don't know. What do you prepare examples? You won't see this person's addiction, this person's compulsion, this person's weakness on the outside. But if you look at their actual life, you're supposed to be a peacemaker, bro. Yet everywhere you go, you destroy families, your own even, with judgmentalism. We good? Wow. We got to be careful when we talk about the sin that entangles. It's all of us. And it's everything outside of boundaries of what God said is true, right, and best. You can't just stare at specific ones because it's in the media and they're voting on it. You can't stare at that one and ignore this one. You can't do that. That's not a complete picture. Do we understand? Listen, I hope some of you are decompressing. Because when we all get thrown in, it's like, okay, nobody's going to stare at me and I'm not going to stare at anybody else. What do I always say? Keep your eyes on your own paper, don't I? Then you're free to look at yourself and go, which sins... which things outside of boundaries, which things missing the mark are keeping me from running my race? That's what we're talking about here, guys. I never aimed the gun at anybody, did I? No, I didn't. And I don't believe Jesus is aiming a gun at anybody either. He's saying, hey, you know what's tripping you up. You know what's keeping you on this race. You know what it is. Take part in it. Cast it off, guys. I'll tell you something. You ready for this one? And I marvel at this. Bruce, I really marvel at this. Every year that goes by that I follow Jesus, I marvel more and more at this. Do you want to know what Jesus talked about more than sex, drugs, rock and roll, booze, dip, smoking, homosexuality, murder, slander? All those, AJ? Yeah, let me keep going. What else is there? Coveting, stealing. Do you know what he talked about exponentially more than all of those put together? Greed. Our relationship with money. A relationship with stuff. He spends a lot more time on that than who you have sex with. And what you do, you know what I'm trying to say? Even more than murder, slander, adultery. Poof, greed. But we don't talk about that in church as much. And we don't look at each other and go, I don't want to throw up. I got to be careful. This is where I got to be careful. I can't say like, if I say an example, then I'm going, AJ said that's bad. Well, no, it was just an example. I don't know. Greed, our relationship with money, the fact that we can have money, but money cannot have us. God doesn't against you having things. He's against things having you. I'll give you an example. Don't take my word for things. I know I'm a little word heavy today. Rich young ruler comes to him and goes, Jesus, what do I got to do to get the kingdom? To get it, to receive it, to have it. He goes, you, bro, being that I know your heart, you got to sell all your stuff because your stuff has you. And the rich young ruler went away sad. And we never read from him again. Jesus, you don't have to like what I'm saying. It's the truth. Jesus talked more about greed than all those other things that are out of bounds exponentially. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, but we are responsible to throw off the things that are entangling us. It's called grace and truth. You're adopted. You're good. God loves you so much that, forget it. Mike, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is how serious this is. And he says, Dad, if there's any other way, don't do this to me. Don't do this. You can do anything, says Jesus. Dad, don't do this. If there's any other way, don't do this. I got to do that. And nevertheless, let your will be done. Dad, you can do anything. Don't reject me. Don't let them kill me. Don't do this. But nevertheless, let your will be done. Which of you as a parent, if their kid was begging them, Dad, don't do this to me. Don't let it happen. Which one of us would say, I got to let them kill you, bud. I got to do it. None of us, right? Bruce, we would do anything. And this is how serious this is, you guys. For grace and truth. This is following Jesus, guys. Let me hit my last point here. That same one who gave his life for us to follow, to be adopted and accepted, and then says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. I'm not being legalistic, you guys. I'm just saying we have a responsibility to play. I want to tell you something, and I want to correct the Western church in some ways. Who am I? But anyway, Jesus never asked us to be fans of his. Go read the book, Not a Fan. Some of you did with Ed Sachs's North Country Church. He never said, I want enthusiastic fans. He says, I want followers. He never wanted fans. You ever notice that? Go read the Beatitudes, the way he addressed people. When people walked away, he went, okay. I'm not looking for admirers. I'm looking for followers. That's what he talked about. You ever had the define the relationship talk with anybody? We've all had it. Okay, what's this relationship? Where's this going? Steph probably had it with Mike. Well, Mike, are you committed to me? Like, what are we to each other? And Mike went, most guys don't like that talk. Oh, everything's fine, right? What are you talking about? Like, no, I want to know where we're going. Are you committed to me? Like, you know what I'm saying? Jesus is often having that conversation with us. Hey, I mean, are you a casual kind of admirer here? Are you on board with this thing? Are you following me? Where's this going? What am I to you? I had to define the relationship talk with my wife, 10 years ago, 9 years ago, where I've told you this story before, where I kind of was trying so hard to do things right. There you go, grace and truth, right? I had done so many things the wrong way and just, you know, destroyed myself and other people and all that I wanted to do things so right that the pendulum was stuck here. And I wasn't being affectionate with her or anything like that. Like, I wasn't showing my emotions to her. So I was stuck in legalism. And finally, my buddy corrected me. I said, bro, you know, come on, man. You got to let her know you care about her and all this. So we had to define the relationship talk. And I said, wow, I actually really love you. And I'm committed to you. And that was on February 13th. I'll never forget because I was waiting for Valentine's Day to do something special. What a cheese ball. What a terrible person I am. Who will save me from this body of... Anyway, once I knew I loved her February 13th, I asked her to marry me on March 17th. Once we defined the relationship, it was easy to follow afterward. Once I understood who she was to me, it was easy to do the things that needed to be done. Do you understand what I'm saying? Once we realized, I'm not a fan of Jesus, actually. I'm a follower. I want to do what he has me to do. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's the posture I'm talking about. It was easy to ask her to marry me. It was easy to plan the wedding. It was easy to change things about my life to help her, you know, make her happy and commit to her. It was easy to do those things because I loved her. Once I defined the relationship, it was easy to do that, you guys. So as we're talking about running the race, and we're getting ready to close it down, running the race and throwing off things that are keeping us from running our race, sometimes it's important to have that define the relationship talk. I forget what it is. There's four slides in Matthew that are the reason I'm bringing this up. Now, don't freak out until I explain this, okay? This is Jesus talking in Matthew, the tax collector's firsthand biography of Jesus. And he says, Jesus said this, because I was there. Jesus said, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you'll actually know who they are. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes? Not going to happen. Do you pick figs from thistles? Do you pick blueberries from an apple tree contemporarily? No, you don't. Likewise, just like that, every good tree bears, guess what? Good fruit. But a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree can't bear bad fruit. A bad tree can't bear good fruit. We're all on board. Yep, sounds right. Every tree, wow, Jesus loves trees. Every tree that does not bear good fruit, guess what happens? There's a consequence. It's cut down and thrown into the fire because it's good for nothing. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize him. That's the second time he said that. Now, this is the part that basically shaped this whole message. Not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will actually enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And I'll tell them plainly, I never knew you. Get away from me, you evildoers. Now, if you read that in the wrong spirit, that's terrifying. And everybody in this room is probably going, is that going to be me? Like, oh my God, I've never casted out a demon. I've never performed miracles, and yet, Jesus, whoa, what? Guess what we're talking about here, guys? We're talking about people who are fans of Jesus, never committed to him, never committed to bearing the fruit. Why do you think I showed you the first part? Because context is important. We're talking to people who did not follow Jesus, who relied on their religiosity or their resume. That's what that is. Look at the screen. That's their resume. Hey, I did these things. Let me in, man. Come on, open the door. Jesus goes, I never knew you. You never followed me. But I did this religious stuff, churchy, and I didn't watch R-rated movies, and I did all the stuff that you're supposed to. Come on, look at my resume. Jesus goes, I never knew you. When I asked to define the relationship, you said, fan. Boop, boop. I'll rely on this other stuff. I'm a fan. Very good. I'll watch you from afar. What does a fan do? They watch Aaron Rodgers be the best quarterback in the league that they've ever seen. But a follower actually gets down there and plays on the team, right? That's what we're talking about. So let me take some condemnation off you. Let me take some hellfire and brimstone, brother, off you from this one right here. If you're worried that's you, I got to tell you something. It's probably not you. Because you care. And because you want to be with the Lord Jesus Christ and you're a follower. Don't point to your resume as your get into heaven card, okay? Because your resume doesn't impress him much. I didn't sing the Shania Twain song. It was good. All our good works are as filthy rags before the Lord God. So don't hold up your resume. Instead, what I would like to be able to say is, this is where the Me Too comes in. AJ leaves this earth, get up there, start having conversations with other people in paradise where there's no more tears and cancer and bankruptcy and all that stuff. And we start partying in the presence of God. That's the main thing, of course. Whoa, hey, Johnny, how'd you get here? Johnny the Baptist. What's up, man? We were talking about you, bro. Crazy. Get up. You dressed funny. But it's awesome. How'd you get here, man? Oh, gee, I screwed up my life. Jesus cut me a really sweet deal. And I followed him, and this is where he led me. Oh, me too. Slap. Nobody's going to fist bump and say, good job, Johnny. Good job, John the Baptist. Earned it. Bow, bow. It's not going to happen in heaven. That's why these guys depart from me. You never knew me. You did religious stuff. You never committed to me. You never followed me. Anytime I tapped on your heart and said, error, stop judging that person. Stop holding grudges. Stop being so sensitive. Stop being so selfish. Stop being so greedy. You said, no, Jesus, I don't want to follow that. And the last thing I'm going to say is I shut this down. And I know it sounds like I'm being harsh, but guess what? Grace and truth. You're absolutely loved by the Lord Jesus. So much so that he sat in the Garden of Gethsemane and said, I'll do this for you. If that's not love, then nothing else is. Okay? Understand that. But there's a responsibility in it. This is a portrait of somebody who stands right next to Jesus and his truth, who's close to it, but apathetically says, nah, or tomorrow, or not that way, Lord Jesus. I got to move forward here. The last example I want to talk about that really is sobering is Judas Iscariot. Let's look at this real quick. The guy was with him for over 3 years. He was looking at the hands that created the world and the heavens and the cosmos. He looked at them every day. He heard things come out of Jesus. He saw him walking on water. And somehow he never went from fan to follower. That scares me. Not for me personally. No. I believe I'm actually a follower of Christ. I do. I have to be assured in that. But it scares me because you can think one thing and be deceived. And that's what scares me. That does scare me. Judas was with him. And when following Jesus started to cost Judas something, or when Jesus said something he didn't like, or it interfered with his life, he said, I'm out. And I can show you the parable of the sower where we're the same way. I'll follow you, Jesus, until you mess up my dating life. I'll follow you until you dip into my checkbook. Ooh, ouch. I'll follow you until you say something about that person over there that I don't want it to say, and then I'm out. Guys, don't you think that the same thing happened to Judas? When Mary broke the thing and was anointing Jesus' feet with her hair, he says, we could have used that money for the poor, Jesus. Now, remember, he was skimming off the top. But when something went down that he didn't like or agree with, he went, I'm out. Race, the race I'm running, done. And does not persevere, does not keep running the race. Is this making any sense, guys? I'm trying to paint the full picture. Okay. If you've heard condemnation today, I apologize. I'm not doing my job. But if you've heard anything goes, you can do whatever you want, act like a fool in daddy's house for the rest of your life, and keep hurting yourself and others over and over again, even though the Holy Spirit's showing you a better way to do life. If you ever hear that from me, I've let you down as well. Grace and truth, guys. So run your race. Absolutely be encouraged, guys. Actually, let me read my wrap up here. Last thing I got to say. There is a cost in following Jesus, guys. In all three synoptic gospels, can you show me Luke? You might have to skip a few. I did skip some scripture today. In all three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this is what it says, and this is why we're doing this today. If anyone would come after me, follow me, become my follower, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So, again, maybe this is about me. Maybe I'm projecting onto you guys. I don't know. I'm a human being. I don't want to ever leave off any of this stuff. We are to deny ourselves, guys, and follow and pick up the cross daily. It's true. So, guys, next time you're asked to deny yourself and you're tempted to sit down and not run your race, just remember that this is part of it. Following Christ costs us something, guys. Rest in his grace. Be sure of your salvation with the imputation of righteousness for ours, his. We're saved by faith in Christ to all who believe because of his amazing grace. Don't ever do that. Don't ever doubt that, I should say. But because of that, throw off that which is tripping you up and running this race. So here's how we're going to do this. I was talking to a guy recently who had huge victory in his life. Like, life has changed for him in a real dramatic way. And I said, what's the difference now? Like, why now all of a sudden and, like, not before? What happened? And he said this. He said, I used to go to church. I used to hear about this stuff. But I never knew how to apply it into my life. That's what he said. Never had a step-by-step thing of a choice of denying myself and following. And so here's what I want to say to you guys today. Sometimes you get that in counsel with other people and with a mentor relationship. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, I can't do this to everybody's life. Well, Bill, here's what you have to do specifically for this, and that. We can't do that. But maybe that's actually what you need. Maybe you need to be able to go to somebody and say, hey, this specific thing is tripping me up. What do you think? And that person could sit with you and you could do life together and you could, does that make sense? Because once this person got that individual attention, he said, yes, I want to throw that off. I want to follow. But in the crowd, he didn't know how to do it. So reach out to other folks, guys. If you understand that this is you, take a step. Take a step and wrestle this thing, guys. Keep going. Keep going. Lisa, why don't you come up here? I'm just about ready. Oh, and Gordon, too, yeah. Many of us have started to walk with Christ, guys. And I want to encourage you by this. Even if you're two steps into this path, you're not where you used to be. And where does this path lead? That's what people always say. When we do marital counseling, I always do that, too. Today's the first day where you stepped on this path. And it might look like, oh, things still look the same. No, but you're on this path. All you have to do is just keep going. Just keep going. Don't give up, okay? Okay.